Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us about the great priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the high priest. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's begin reading with verse 22. Our text is in verse 26, but we'll start reading with verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now notice verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And what is he doing in verse 25? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to pray today. And while we pray for the things that are going on here, we also lift up some pastor friends of ours, Lord, that others are praying for this very day. Brother Steve Leithley in Byesville, Ohio. Brother Norm Carrillo in Tenino, Washington. Now, Father, we pray for them. We pray for their churches. And we ask you, please, Lord God, to strengthen these men, their families, and their churches by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them power and give them strength and a filling of the Spirit of God, Father, that others may know that they are being cared for by other saints who lift them up before your throne. And more importantly, that they may know you. Father, we also pray for the Hibbets today who could not be with us because of Linda's failing health. And we ask you, please, to give the family comfort. And I know their request, Father, is for the medications to be changed where she can be at home with them as she spends the last few days of her life on this earth. And we ask you, Lord, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, honor their request. We ask you humbly. And we pray earnestly, Father, that you'll do so. Then, Lord, we pray for this service today. And we ask you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may be able to preach way beyond my ability, power, training, and preparation. Preach in the power of the Spirit of God. I pray for these that are here today that you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit that they may be able to receive the things that are spoken and that they may be brought back to their remembrance at times appropriate. Lord God, that they may be used for your glory. And Father, if there is amongst us somebody that's not saved, we pray today that they will hear about their high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand that he and he alone can save them. And we pray, Father, that today they will have the courage and the strength and, more importantly, the faith to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. For we ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, that's where you first ever learned about the high priest. And the first high priest was a fellow named Aaron. There was another priest that showed up before him named Melchizedek. And Abraham met him in Genesis chapter 14 after the defeat of people that attacked and had taken Lot and his family and their possessions. And so after recovering all this, they met Melchizedek. And Abraham actually paid a tithe of what was recovered to Melchizedek. And he was a picture, a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ because he says, without father, without mother, without descent. So he's very singularly a very interesting priest, and he preceded the Aaronic priesthood or the Levitical priesthood that was first held by Aaron. And so when Jesus Christ comes up, He's not. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's not from Levi. And so it, Paul is explaining that in fact he's a high priest. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but even better because of all these things that you've read about in this passage of Scripture. And today what we're going to do is look at Jesus Christ, the high priest, and see exactly what the Lord has described for us in verse 26 and what his office is for us today in verse 25. And the first thing we notice right away from this passage of Scripture is that Jesus Christ is the only suitable high priest. He is the only suitable high priest, and the reason is, verse 26 says, he is holy. He is holy. Now, God is also holy. And if you were to know everything there is to know about God, I mean, there's more described about God in the Bible than you even know about him right now. And if you've read all of the Bible and studied it, as you study more, you're going to learn more about him because it's an infinite book with infinite revelation. And so even after you've learned all that God has revealed about himself to you by reading and studying the Bible and hearing preaching and teaching of the Word of God, you're still not going to know all there is to know about God. You'll only know what he wants you to know from reading. But if you could stand before the Lord right now, you would disintegrate. And the reason is he's holy and we cannot stand. He's unapproachable. We cannot stand in his presence in our condition. We're not suitable for that. But Jesus Christ is. Because he's holy and therefore as a high priest, he can stand in God's presence for us. Listen, God is just and Jesus Christ is the justifier. And so by justifying us, he gives us the opportunity to approach unto God in a way that nobody else could. And the beauty of it is, the Lord God is always accessible in prayer when we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I grew up in the Catholic Church. And when I grew up, we had priests. And there were various stages and degrees. You had priests and you had monsignors and you had bishops and you had cardinals and popes and you had all this kind of stuff. You may be marginally familiar with it. You may have grown up in the Catholic Church like I did and you may be very familiar with it. Now, when I was 14 years old, I thought that I was going to be a priest, and I actually went to a seminary to be a priest. And boy, am I glad I didn't do that. For many reasons. I'm so happy to be married. That would have not been possible. Children, that would not have been possible. And there are a number of other things. I might have been proud enough to believe that I could actually intercede on the behalf of others. And I might have been proud enough to believe that I might have been able to hear somebody's confession and actually absolve them from sin. And that would have been a horrible mistake because there's only one priest in the universe who is qualified to do that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the only suitable high priest. He is holy. Now the beauty of this is simply this. There is the Trinity. And 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 describes this Trinity and says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There's no other priest that's one with the Father. I and the Father are one, he said. And when you've got Jesus Christ, Colossians says he is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything you need is in Jesus Christ. And so can you imagine today, calling somebody else, a man, father, who is not your earthly dad. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, he said, call no man on earth your father, for one is your father which is in heaven. And the reason that he said that is, he's not talking about your biological father, he's talking about religious titles, because he mentions masters and rabbis in the same passage in Matthew chapter 23. Can you imagine calling one individual who is the highest ranking of all these priests, Holy Father? In the context of what you've just heard. Well, it would be, listen, honestly, it would be blasphemous to do that. Now, the people that do that, that have not been acquainted with what you know in the Bible, do that ignorantly. I understand that. I did it ignorantly. Because I didn't understand. Now that I know what I know, and now that I've read what I've read, and now that I see what I see in the Bible, I could never do that. Because there's only one suitable high priest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who is truly holy, completely, for us to be able to approach unto the Lord God. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm glad we have a priest. All right? With a priest like him, that's the only one you need. All right, the second thing we see in here is not only is the only suitable high priest, but he is the only, listen, the only substitutionary high priest. So that's a big word. What does that mean? That means if you were playing football and you were the running back and the coach thought you were tired or needed a break or had another play to call, he'd take you out and put somebody else in. You've been substituted out. All right, Jesus Christ is a substitutionary high priest, meaning he took your place. And notice what he says here in verse 26, for such an high priest became us, there's the substitution. And notice also that he is harmless. He didn't come here to hurt you. Now I know sometimes when we're preaching the Word of God, the Word of God will get under your skin and the messenger is always the one to blame. You say, how do you know that? Well, it's happened. Okay, but the other way that I know that is Paul only came to speak what the Lord God wanted him to speak, and they whipped him, and they stoned him, and they imprisoned him, and they beat him, and they starved him out. They did everything they could. Why? They took it out on the messenger. He said, in another place about the apostles, he said, these are the men that have turned the world upside down. Well, all they were trying to communicate is the same thing that I'm trying to communicate to you now. You have a substitutionary high priest. You have somebody that took your place. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that we are sanctified through the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, he didn't sacrifice for himself. He sacrificed himself. He didn't kill a lamb, which is what the high priest did in the Old Testament. He didn't approach under the mercy seat with the blood of a lamb. He allowed himself to die. Somebody said, who's responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you look at all the parties that were involved, ultimately, Jesus Christ is responsible for his own death. He willingly offered himself to be sacrificed and came to the Lord not with the blood of a lamb, but he came with his own blood. The Bible says about pastoring, about feeding a flock like we're doing today, like we've done in Sunday school, feed the church of God, the Bible says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's remarkable. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said when he introduced Jesus Christ to Israel. Job describes having a hard time having any type of approach to God because he said, I need a daysman. A daysman. Well, that's not a word that you commonly use today, but it's easy to look up because it's still in the dictionary. And a daysman basically means somebody that can stand between you. A guy who can give you your day in court. That's what a daysman is. A guy who can represent you on your day in court. The Bible also refers to him as an advocate, but as a daysman, basically he stands between. An intercessor. In the New Testament, we find the word mediator to describe him. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So a daysman is simply somebody who is man and yet somebody who is God at the same time that can take both man on the one hand and God on the other hand, put them together. There's no other person in the universe that can do that. When he came here to the earth, he was born of Mary. He's called the Son of Man. But because God is his Father, he's called the Son of God, and that puts him in a unique capacity to take both of us and put us together. I needed a daysman. I had to have somebody who could represent me and bring me to God. And he is the one that does it. And so now, when we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says, Therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The only way you can do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just pretend that God's throne is here, and let's pretend that I am one more man in the earth that really wants to get to heaven. And you talk to people, most people that you talk to, when you ask them about spiritual matters will say, I hope that I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I would like to go to heaven. Some say I am even prepared to go to heaven. I'm just not ready. All right. But nevertheless, there's God, and I've got to have a way to approach. Listen, the common denominator of all religions, and I realize they are vastly different in many respects, so I'm not trying to oversimplify it except to this one degree. The common denominator of all religions, I have to do something in order to make myself acceptable to God so I can have an entrance in order to get eternal life. So here I come on my own through whatever religion we want to call it or through whatever practice that I've got, and I'm trying to make myself acceptable to God where I can approach to Him. I can't. I can't. And furthermore, there's no need for me to do that. Why? Because from the throne came the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead of making me jump through hoops and rituals to get to Him, He came to me. He came to you. And He made the approach this way and said, rather than you do something to make yourself acceptable to me, let me do something to make you acceptable to my Father. So He came here as a man and died in our place as a substitute so that then we could receive Him, and by receiving Him, we could get to God. It's not what I heard it explained more simply and more beautifully than I have any other way. Religions are a religion of do, and Christianity is a relationship of done. Just take what He's already done for you. He is our substitute. Listen, while the Lord Jesus Christ was in the earth, the Bible says He's harmless, right? He never hurt anybody. Do you know that? He never hurt anybody. I mean, James and John, the sons of thunder, they get to Samaria, and Samaria is not happy that Jesus is there. And they say, you want us to call down fire from heaven? They couldn't wait, boy. They're ready to saddle up and make it all happen right there. And He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come here to destroy people. I came here to save people. And even where He wasn't kindly received, He's kind to the unthankful, the Bible says. He never hurt anybody. Somebody brought Him some kids and said, get those kids out of here. You know, one of the disciples. Get those kids out of here. They don't belong here. This guy's a busy guy, don't you know? Get those kids out of here. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then He says, if somebody were to offend one of these little ones, it better for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. He didn't come here to hurt anybody, and He's not here to hurt anybody right now. Listen, the gospel may hurt because it gets under your skin about your sin. I like to have, that's kind of poetic. Under your skin about your sin. And people don't like people getting under your skin about your sin. They get all upset about that. Well, get beyond your sin and get to thinking about Him. Because He didn't come here to hurt you. He came here to save you. And He is your substitute. Listen, He already hurt Himself. Why would He hurt you? I mean, did you ever see how badly He got beaten and how serious that crucifixion was? Crucifixion is something that would take sometimes 5-7 days to kill a person. And Jesus died, listen, in just a matter of hours on the same day. You say, how did that happen? How could it have happened that way? The weight of our sin laid on Him in addition to the punishment that He received, too much. Killed Him in just a matter of hours. That's right. And that's because he substituted for you. So we have the only suitable high priest in Jesus Christ. We have the only substitutionary high priest in Jesus Christ. But that's not all. Jesus Christ is the only, listen, sinless high priest. Again, in verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, watch it, undefiled. Undefiled. Listen, He was undefiled in thought. He was undefiled in His heart. When Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees, they got all buzzed up because He would eat without washing His hands. Did your mother ever get all buzzed up about you eating because you didn't wash your hands before you ate? Did you wash your hands? Did you wash behind your ears? I'm not going to eat with my ears. No, I didn't wash behind my ears. I just washed my hands. Did you brush your teeth? You know, we had that, right? Well, you didn't have to worry about any of that with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those Pharisees were all buzzed up about them not eating with washing hands. And he said, guys, that's not what defiles you. What comes out of your heart is what defiles you. Because down in there is adultery and fornication and evil thinking and all, you know, evil eye and all that bad stuff that goes on in there. And you know something? Jesus Christ never had any of that. It's inconceivable. It's inconceivable, but it's believable. He didn't have any of that down in his heart. He was just undefiled. He was born of a woman, Mary, but he was not in Adam because he came from God Almighty. And listen, I just have to say this because it's very important. Jesus Christ is sinless, and we believe that. But when I was growing up, I was also taught that Mary was sinless. An immaculate conception. Some of you may have heard that. I just need to show you how singularly your high priest is sinless. She wasn't sinless. Now I know that's the doctrine of the church. That way she could provide sinlessness to her son. But listen, when he was taken to the temple on the eighth day to be circumcised, she had an offering that had to be made according to the law, and it was a offering from Leviticus chapter 12, and because they were poor, she offered the lowest value offering, and it was two turtle doves. And Leviticus chapter 12 is a very short chapter. You can read it for yourself, but listen, that offering is called, listen, a sin offering, and it is offered for, listen, the mother. You can read that for yourself. And so when I saw that, I realized, well, there could not be, there's a conflict here. There could not be an immaculate conception, because if there had been an immaculate conception, there would have never been a sin offering. Jesus obviously wasn't a sinner. But she did that in fulfillment of the law and offered a sin offering, and it was for herself. Now that makes sense, and I understand that. Is she blessed? Absolutely. Luke chapter 1 and 2 said she would. I'm totally for that. But sinless? No. Not even possible. Listen, we are sinners. And she said, I magnify God, my Savior. She needed one just like we do. We're all sinners, dead in trespasses and sin. And that knocks out Adam's race completely. Don't hope for any holding place. I was told you could have a purgatory, and then after you fried in there a while, you could go to heaven. I thought to myself, why would I want to do that at all? Why would I want a little fire when I could get by with no fire? Then I started reading. Of course, I read, you know, and I read from Genesis, and I read all the way to Revelation, and I fasted, you know, it's not in here. Where did that word come from? It's kind of a religious second base. Okay? It's just a place you go on your way home. I don't want a place I go on my way home. I want to go home. I'm Dorothy, man. I want to go home. I want to go home, you know? I'm getting all the way. I want to, you know, pass go right in there. And the way to do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason is He is sinless. Remained sinless during his entire ministry, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 describes the substitution and the sinlessness in the same verse. God made Jesus to be sin for us. There's the substitution. Who knew no sin, there's the sinlessness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'll tell you what, that's why it's called a gift. That's why it's called a gift. But let me show you something else. Not only, listen, is he the only sinless high priest, but in our text also notice he is the only, watch it, supernatural high priest. Again, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, watch it, separate from sinners. Separate from sinners. That's an amazing thing. Now, you know something, we need a supernatural high priest. You know why? Because we have supernatural warfare. You know who your adversary is? It's not your wife. Not your husband. Not your kids. Now, I know. Yeah, I know. Y'all had an argument on the way over here, but you'll get over it, okay? That's not your adversary. Your adversary, the Bible says, is the devil, the accuser of the brethren. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Goeth about seeking who he may devour. He's the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12. He's a supernatural enemy. Well, in order to be able to deal with a supernatural enemy, you need a supernatural high priest. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm so glad my high priest is supernatural, because he can do things that nobody else can do. As a matter of fact, listen, he's God manifest in the flesh, so he has foreknowledge. And do you know he sees things before we see them and gets us prepared for those things? You know, it's a comfort sometimes. We're in, as ministers, we're always in different types of situations. You're in very happy and joyous occasions. You're also ministering to people in very sad occasions. And also very uncertain situations, and also to them very surprising situations when the bottom falls out suddenly and you didn't expect it. And it's a comfort to be able to say, do you know something? This did not take God by surprise. He knew this was coming. And if you'll look back and think about spiritual things the Lord has done in your life or was trying to do in your life leading up to this, He was preparing you for what you're going through now. The sadness, the grief, the anxiety, whatever that accompanies this, that's human nature. But I want to tell you something. This did not take God by surprise. He is here. Your high priest is supernatural. And he sees that stuff coming long before it ever gets here. And the Bible says in verse 25, not only does he see it, and not only does he prepare you for it, even though you don't realize you're being prepared for it, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Watch it, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And Romans chapter 8 says he's making intercession for us as well. Can you imagine he already died for you and already went through all that, but he's up there praying right now on your behalf? Listen, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, according to that verse of Scripture, when Paul wrote Hebrews, he didn't say, he's seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He told us that in Romans chapter 8. He said he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, as I am preaching this message, right at this moment, the very one who died for you and rose again for you is there at the throne of God praying for your salvation. What an amazing and phenomenal, wonderful truth. Listen, I don't need a man like me. I already got one of those. I need a man like Jesus Christ. I need a man who can back up every word of God, because the Bible says he is the word of God. I need a man who can tell me what's going to happen, and then a man who can make it happen. And the only one I know who can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But then notice something else in verse 26. He is the supreme high priest. The supreme high priest. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made, watch it, higher than the heavens. You can't get any higher than that. Because we studied in Sunday school this morning, there are three heavens. When you go higher than the heavens, you've reached the top. You're in the pinnacle. You're there at the throne of God. And the book of Revelation shows us that he's there at the throne of God. He is in glory right now. I know that people will sometimes initially get some help from various kinds of organizations down here. Let me just tell you. Men's organizations are limited in how much they can help you because they limit the higher power. Be it psychology or meditation or yoga or whatever those things are. There's a limitation. You can only get so far with that stuff. You get to Jesus Christ, you get right to the top. Right to the top. Somebody says, well, I'm thinking about looking into Buddhism. He's dead. What else do you want to know? I think I'm looking into Islam. Muhammad's dead. What else can I help you with? Well, yeah, but you don't understand. No, I do understand. The guy who said it would work is dead. So, what? and on it goes. They all die. One is in glory with God today and is victorious, the Bible says, over all principalities and powers, and is now seated at the right hand of God. The high priest once each year had to offer, and there was no place in the tabernacle or the temple for him to sit. And the Bible says he is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And you know, here, listen to this. Let me show you the supernatural transaction that takes place if you were to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says this. When you receive Him, He makes you a member of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And since He's seated at the right hand of God, the Bible says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. Because He puts you right on top with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can. He's the supreme high priest. When He was on the cross, He had seven things to say. Do you know what one of them was? Concerning this, it is finished. There's nothing else you can do. You have no more opportunities. Everything that needs to be done is done. Everything that needed to be done is done. Now He's watching over you. You get all you need from the Lord Jesus Christ. My God supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Who wouldn't want that? Absolutely for yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we conclude this, here is this wonderful high priest offering you eternal life as a gift for receiving Him. That simple. That plain, that clear. My question is, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? Somebody said, well, He didn't harm anybody while He was here, so I don't think He'll ever harm anybody. That's where you went wrong. At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a little different story. The Bible says when he came the first time, He came as a lamb. When He comes the second time, He comes as a lion. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given an opportunity to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now I'm looking around here and I see lots and lots of people, and I know you, and a lot of you, if not all of you, are saved. But here's the thing. If there's one person amongst us today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's amazing. Tony, Randy, and I pray together as often as we can each weekend. That is not every day, but almost every day we're together at some time during the day praying. One of the things we pray for and what we pray for on Sunday morning is, God, give us the message that You want us to preach. Now, this message will do you good if you're a Christian, because it tells you about your high priest when you want to talk to somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you learn a lot of great doctrinal things. But that's not the only reason that messages like this are preached. They're preached so that if somebody's here today without Christ, he or she can get saved. I don't know if anybody in here today is without Christ, but if you are, this message was for you. You say, well, I think I'm saved. If I were you, I'd be a little bit more certain than that. As a matter of fact, I'd be a lot more certain than that. We've had people that have come here before after an invitation to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, you know, when I was a child, I was in a vacation Bible school, I was in a youth camp, I was whatever. And I heard the preaching, and I went down with all the other girls that went down, or the other guys that went down. That's what we did. And I've not been settled. Anytime I hear the gospel preached, I'm not settled in my heart that I'm really saved. I'll just tell you about one. Many of you have heard me say this before, and if she were here, she'd want me to tell it again anyway. But Glenda would come, and somebody would preach a message on salvation real directly, and she'd come to you and go, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not." I said, "Well, let's sit down and talk about it." We'd talk about it a little bit, and we'd pray, and I say, "Okay, good, you're good, you know. Sounds like, I mean, you know what confuses us is sometimes we think it's a matter of sitting down and praying a prayer. And that, well, I prayed that prayer, so that must have done it. Well, praying a prayer is not what does it. Okay, that's not how it's done. You may have gotten saved, and a prayer accompanied what you did, but the Bible says that you believe with all your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So it's not really the prayer. Okay? What it is, it's trusting Christ. And I have to clarify, most of us that received the Lord Jesus Christ prayed when we did. So don't misunderstand me in saying, if you prayed, bless God, you're not saved. Then every one of you have to come down here. And that's not where we're not going there. But somebody else came in and preached again, and she came to me and goes, "Preacher, I'm still not at rest about this." We talked a little bit more, you know, and prayed. And another time it happened, and she came to me in tears, and she said, "Now, preacher, I'm not taking no for an answer." I said, "Well, okay. I'm not going to." She said, "I'm not saved. I am sure of that. And I want to pray now. I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trust Him, and I want to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and make this known for sure." And she said, I'll know. She said, "Look me right in the eye." Pointed at me. She said, "I'll know whether or not this is what was missing, because the next time somebody comes in here and preaches on salvation, if I don't end up with this torment in my heart about being lost, I'll know the Lord's taking care of that thing." I said, "Okay, ma'am, that's exactly what we're going to do." Boy, and I'll tell you what, she just poured her heart out to God and left saved and relieved and satisfied in Jesus Christ. Well, it wasn't long after that. Somebody came in here preaching the gospel, and I mean, they preached it, and they made hell hotter than hell is. It was wow! I was like, whoa, that's hard. That's tough. And about halfway through that message, I was sitting up here or over there. I turn around and look back, and Glenda's over there smiling. It's all good. It's all good. You know something? It's all good. It's all good when you get the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not here about retreading Christians. We're not trying to get you disturbed about your soul if you're already saved. Don't misunderstand me. If the Spirit of God's dealing with you and you know you've had unrest in your heart about that, and you know that you're unsettled in your own heart about your salvation, listen. Oh, you've got a high priest that knows you inside and out. He knows the condition of your heart and how desperately he wants to save you today. And I say to you this. I've loved preaching this message. It's been a blessing to me. If you're saved, I'm sure you've loved hearing this message, because how much it tells us about the greatness of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're here today without Christ, listen, don't let this just sink into your ears. Let it change your life by receiving Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much today for the opportunity to preach these words. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have your will and your way amongst those of us that are gathered here today. Thank you, Father, for reaffirming in our own heart the beauty of our Savior, our High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. How great and glorious and grand you are to just see all these wonderful things you've done for us. But Father, my heart's desire is not only to feed us well, that we may be able to represent the Lord Jesus Christ as ambassadors when we know how great your High Priesthood, how singularly great your High Priesthood is to others. But I'm also concerned today, Father, and I'm sure these that are praying are concerned as well, that if somebody here today is truly not saved, how desperately, Father, we know you want them to be saved. You're even interceding on their behalf before the throne right now with us while we're praying for them, and how we'd love to see them receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just to ask you this simple question, not for any other reason, not to put you on the spot, but to give you an opportunity to recognize your need of Jesus Christ. Is there somebody today that you'd simply raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm really unsure about that, and I need to settle this with Jesus." Anybody like that today? Just raise it up there where I can see it. Amen. Amen. I see that. Amen. Is there anybody else? I'm not trying to shake you down if you're saved. Just really want to give you an opportunity. Oh, wouldn't it be desperate if you practiced all this for a while and weren't really saved? That'd be so sad for you to find that you weren't saved. I don't want that. Anybody else? Anybody else here today? One man has raised his hand. There's another. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Lady that raised her hand. Listen, we're going to get a chance to visit with these folks, and we're going to be sure that they're not just trying to, you know, get saved again when they're already really saved. But if that soul is really not secure in Christ, that's what we need to settle today. As a lady and a man that have raised, anybody else here today, before I close, just say, preacher, please, we need to talk. We need to talk today. We need to settle this now. Anybody? All right. Father, you've seen the hands of these, the two that have raised their hands. We know them well, and they know us well, and we're going to take that time to visit with them. And I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us do several things. First of all, to have the honest discernment in dealing with them, to know whether they're just troubled about the current situation in their life and need to strengthen their faith for you to help them through the troublous times they're in, or whether truly there is the lack of true eternal life because they've just not been saved. And Father, if that's the case, then how great it is today they've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, where they truly can trust Him and know and settle it for sure this day. We ask you to be able to do that with us and for us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.